We're in a series called Home for the Holidays, which I love because I love Christmas. I love everything about Christmas. I love Christmas cookies. I love the Christmas dinner. I love Christmas television programs and movies. I love Christmas lights, Christmas trees, all that kind of stuff. And so just, you know, love all that that goes on. And then, you know, when you're someone like me, you know that there is, when you like Christmas, you like holidays, they're usually, those people enforce all the holiday rules. You have a holiday rule enforcer? In your house, that's me. No songs, no TV shows about Christmas till Thanksgiving dinner is over. And then we can enjoy all that. And even in my house, kind of the way I set it up, you know, we have, I want to make sure I can sit in my recliner and see the Christmas tree and the fireplace and the football game all at the same time. And so I love that. I love Christmas. So I'm really excited about this series that we're in called Home for the Holidays. And we want to welcome right now on our web and on television everyone that's joining us there for our Home for the Holiday series that we're excited about. Let's clap our hands, everyone, for those joining us. So I was thinking about all the stuff that I love for Christmas. One of the things that I love, I have to be honest, I love getting gifts. I love giving gifts, but I really love getting gifts. And so especially when I was a kid, and I remember some of my favorite gifts, some of the things that my parents gave me that were my favorite when I was a kid. So I went out this week and I dug them out and I brought a couple of them. And you guys may remember some of this. This I got, I was about 7 or 8 years old. I spent hours, I don't even know what this is called, so I just call it awesomeness. Because I spent so many hours, I got the Steelers and the Cowboys here. And if you didn't have one of these, or maybe you didn't have a brother that had one of these, what you do is you take about 30 minutes to line up all the players, and then you turn it on, and it vibrates, and the play lasts for 3 seconds, and then you turn around and do it again. And so none of my kids would ever play this game. They would never have the patience. And this is mine. At some point, it broke. The electrical thing didn't work. So I would set them all up, and then I would just do this. And you could hear me for hours in my room. I got to tell you what a nerd I was. There's two teams here. I actually had 16 teams. I did a schedule, had playoffs, and a championship. One year, you get 11 players with each team. I decided to go to 8-man football, and we had 2-a-days, and I cut 3 players from each team. And so that was the technology of the 70s. And then I was, I think, 10 years old when it just went to a whole nother level. With electronic Coleco quarterback. How many had one of these? You're out there. You had one of these. No cool graphics. No wireless with your friend next to you. You just had 3 bright dashes on offense and 3 dim dashes on defense. And so when they got you, then the play was over. I don't know if any of you guys remember. There was actually a 2-player. That was our wireless thing. And all it had, it has the buttons on this side. And you had to literally stand like that and you looked at the same screen. I remember a friend of mine had one of these. And so I just got tackled, if you want to know. And so I can remember that getting a 10. But, you know, now I'm on the other side. Now I'm a parent. And so Roxanne and I are sitting down trying to figure out how can we give our kids the perfect gift? What is it? So we're asking them and we're looking at sale ads and all this kind of stuff. But really what we all know is the perfect gift that we can give our kids is ourselves. That's really the best gift that parents can give their kids is themselves. Because our kids crave our attention in a world where nobody gets our full attention anymore. I mean, now in a world of cell phones, where I'm in a meeting, I'm texting, and I'm getting an email at the same time. Or I'm watching television, and there's a guy talking, but there's 2 things running across the bottom catching me on the news. And then there's something over here, you know, and then I don't drive and text. And, but I'm driving and I got email and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, it's so great because now I can spend time with my kids and get work done at the same time. And then what happens is these gadgets that I have a lot of them that were meant to save us time actually cause us to miss the most meaningful moments in our life. because our kids crave our full attention. And that is rare in our society. My son Jordan, he's 2. He was trying to tell me something the other day. And of course, I had, you know, a ball game on and I'm watching this. And I'm figured I can get away with this one because his vocabulary is only about 20 words. So I know it was one of those 20. And I could answer them without even thinking. And after about 2 minutes of dad, 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 finally he starts just pounding me on the chest. And what was he trying to say? Look at me. Give me your full attention. That's what our kids want. And I love what Rick Warren said, you know, because we all are so pressed for time. We're trying to figure out how can we multitask. And then that culture comes into our family. And we want to make the best use of our time. And Rick Warren said that the best use of time is love. And the best expression of love is time. And the best time to love is now. Man, that hit me when he said that. The best use of time is love. The best expression of love is time. And the best time to love is now. Because what you learn quickly as a parent is that kids spell love T-I-M-E. We want to spell it so many other different ways. But kids spell love T-I-M-E. That's a language they can understand. Because my oldest son, he's 7, Johnny, he's in the first grade. And so he's learning to read right now. And I'm trying to help him. And what I've discovered is that I am amazed that anyone ever learns to read the English language. Because it is so difficult. There are no rules. They teach you rules, but the rules don't apply. We're doing something and he's, you know, spelling bomb. B-O-M-B. So then C-O-M-B is not com, it's comb. And then T-O-M-B is not, is tomb. And then, you know, all this kind of stuff, it doesn't work out. And then I'm trying to help him spell the word, you know, his numbers. And O-N-E in one. There's no W in one. And there's an E that you don't need. And then you spell two, and there's a W in two that you don't need that really should be in the one. And I said, I can't explain this to you. I went to Central. That's why we got you in private school. And it's so complicated. But, you know, that's fine for first grade homework. I don't want that culture in my house. I don't want my love to be complicated. I know that my son spelled love T-I-M-E. And I want my love to be easy to read. I want him to understand it. And Jesus felt the same way. If you have your Bibles, open up to Luke. Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18 is a great story. Jesus is really towards the end of his life. He's literally weeks away from his crucifixion. He's got a lot to do. You talk about a busy, important man. He literally came to save the world. And he's only got weeks left to finish off the job. And he's teaching in this setting. And he's saying life-changing, profound things that 2,000 years later, men and women are still studying. And in this setting, when probably thousands are gathered around him, look what happens. It says in Luke 18, verse 15. It says, as he was teaching, people were also bringing babies to Jesus to have him touch them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked him. So what's going on? Jesus is teaching. Thousands of people around. Lots going on. It's really kind of crunch time. And in the middle of his teaching, people are bringing their kids to Jesus for him to bless them and pray for them and lay hands on them. So what do the disciples do? They did, unfortunately, the same thing that I think I would do. Say, look, we love kids. It's not that we hate kids. We love kids. But now is not the time. We're too busy. We've got important things to do. We'll do that tomorrow. We'll do that next week. Right now, we've got to take care of this. And unfortunately, too often, that is my attitude. But one of the things I love about Jesus is he had the ability, in the middle of craziness going on all around him, thousands of people, people over here that want to make him king, people over here that want to kill him, and he's in his mind, he knows what he's facing in the next couple of weeks, and he's teaching, and all this going on, and he had lots of moments like that. He always had the ability to look into that moment and find the thing that was most important. And usually, he was the only one there that saw it. And in this moment, he was able to look through all this craziness and see those kids and know that they were most important. Look at what it says. Verse 16. But Jesus called the children to him and said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such things, to such as these. You know, I read that and I'm convicted in a lot of ways. But one of the things I'm convicted about is I pray for the ability to see the most important thing about moments in my life. Because if you ever missed a moment, and a week later, or a year later, or maybe years later, you look back and think, I can't believe I focused on that instead of this. I can't believe I thought that meeting was so important, or that phone call was so important, or having a clean kitchen was so important that I missed what was really going on that now I realize is much more important. And you know, we miss those moments, and we all miss them. But I think the biggest regrets we'll have as parents is when we miss those moments with our kids. Because, you know, I'm a young parent. My oldest son is 7 years old. So please do not think I'm up here giving my wealth of wisdom from the 7 years of parenting. I probably have more wisdom from the spankings I got as a child than my time as a parent. So it's not that at all. But one thing I've noticed is as a young parent, when I talk to older parents or maybe parents whose kids left the house, you know what I never hear? I never hear, you got young kids? Whoa, seems like forever till they grow up. Takes a long time, doesn't it? You know, I do hear sometimes I thought they'd never leave the house. But other than that, I always hear the opposite. You know, when someone finds out I have young kids and they've kind of been there, maybe they've raised their children, I always hear it goes so quick. Cherish these moments. Before you know it, they'll be growing up. They'll be leaving the house. And so I know I've only got so many moments. It's really important that I capture those moments, that I capture the most meaningful thing and not get caught up in all the stuff that's going around me. And you know, it's important in so many ways. It's important for the kids because when you spend time with your kids, when we shut everything else out and lock in with someone and give them our full attention, they feel loved, they feel valued, and they feel secure. And you know, it's hard to live a healthy life emotionally and spiritually when you don't feel valued, you don't feel loved, you don't feel secure. And so there's all kinds of things that we do as parents for our kids. But I think the most important thing for them is to give them our time, give them our full attention so they can grow up and feel loved, feel secure. But not just for them. I think it's the most important thing I can do for myself for a couple reasons. You know, right now, my kids are not real busy. I mean, they wake up in the morning, they get dressed, you know, they watch cartoons. Maybe they've got, you know, jump on the trampoline, something like that. But not a whole lot going on. I've got meetings, I've got emails, got places I need to be, people I need to get in touch with, lots of stuff going on. So I have to work real hard now to fit them into my schedule. But I know that it won't always be that way. There'll come a day where they have the meetings, they're working for the promotion, they've got the house to take care of, they've got a to-do list, and all I have to do is wake up in the morning and watch cartoons. I know I'll be on that edge. And so what I want to do is I want to set a culture in my family now that says you make time for those that you love. Because right now they're asking dad to make time for them. But one day I know dad's going to be asking them to make time for me. So I want to set that culture now so I can enjoy the fruits of it later. But I'll tell you another reason I think it's the most important thing that I can do to capture those moments with my kids. I really believe it's important to live with the end in mind. And the Bible's real clear that there will be a day that this life ends, we step into the next life, and we're judged. Now, I'm not worried about being judged for my sins, not because they aren't many and they aren't bad, but Jesus Christ took care of that at the cross. And so in my mind, when they put the video in to show everything I've ever done wrong, that tape has been erased because Jesus Christ took care of it. But the Bible's also clear that we will be held accountable for the things that God gave us and what we did with it. All of our finances, all of our time, our influence, our opportunities, our gifts, our talents, we'll be held accountable for that. And so I picture that day, and I don't know how it's going to look, but I picture me all by myself standing in front of God, sitting on his throne, and he begins to ask me what I did with what he gave me. And I don't know if I can prove this scripturally, but I honestly believe the very first question he asked me will be about the thing he gave me that was most precious to him. And that was my wife, Roxanne, and my kids, Johnny, Joshua, Jordan, and Joseph. I think he'll ask me the very first question. It won't be about the sermons that I preached. It won't be about the mission trips that I went on. It won't be about the fact that I was involved in an incredible church that was reaching the world for Jesus Christ. And all that's important. I think the most important and the first question I'll have to give accountability for are my wife and my kids. And I want to, on that day, be able to say I did the best that I could. I know I didn't catch all the moments, but I did everything I could to catch and value those moments. So it's the most important thing I can do for myself. But I'll tell you what, I'll go to another level. I believe it's the most important thing that I can do for the world. I love outreach. I love the local church. I have grown up in the church. I plan, you know, to be in the church all my life. I love the things that the church does. I love how we reach the world. I love weekend services. But I honestly believe the best thing that I can do to make this world a better place is to give this world four men that are healthy spiritually and emotionally. They love God, they serve God, and they're ready to make this world a better place and do everything they can to change the world. I believe that's the best thing that I can do. It's so interesting that the Bible compares children to arrows, not to teddy bears. Because as parents, isn't that what we want to do? We really want to keep them really close all of our life. And you know, as I talk to older parents, even as they grow up, you still want to keep them and hold them. The Bible says they're not just cuddly teddy bears. They're arrows that at some point we will reach back and we will pull the bow and we will shoot them into the world. And I'm going to tell you what, I want to shoot four arrows into the world that pierce the darkness. The world doesn't have to take care of them. They go in the world to make it a better place. And it will never be the same. And nobody will remember my name. You know, I'll be John Green's dad at that point. I won't be Johnny Green anymore. Aren't you his dad? Aren't you his parent? That's what I think that would be my proudest moment. Not, man, what about that sermon you preached? Man, what about that time you led this outreach? I think my proudest moment when somebody comes up to me and says, your kids are changing the world for Jesus Christ. I think that's the best thing that I can do for the world. I do all the other things. It's to spend time and capture, but it starts now. Capturing moments with our kids. And so if that's true, if kids spell love, T-I-M-E, and capturing moments is that important, then how do we do it? I wrote down three things that I think are important. Number one, you have to plan for it. You have to plan for time with our kids. You know, in the world that we live in, if we don't plan for it, it's not going to happen. We have to plan for that. And there are three ways that Roxanne and I plan for our kids. There's tons of ways to do it, but I just want to share three things we do. Number one, we make plans to be at important events. You know, this children's play that we did today, it's not going to be on the news tonight. It's not going to be in the newspaper tomorrow. It's not going to be scrolling at the, you know, HPC children's play went great. You know, at the bottom of CNN or Fox News or anything like that. It's not going to be there. But for the 50 or 60 kids that were up here, it's the most important thing going on in the world. And it means so much to them when their parents are at those events. And sometimes that means canceling other events, stopping stuff, leaving things undone. But being at those important events, I coach my sons in T-ball. And I got to tell you, it's some of the worst baseball game I've ever seen in my life. They don't know what base to run to. They don't know where to throw the ball when they get it. Half of them don't want to be out there in the first place. They spend more time over here at the water. I spend more time throwing away cups than I do actually coaching baseball. But for them, it's more important than any World Series game that's ever been played. And it makes such a difference, I believe, when you make time for important events. You know, the second thing we do is this, is just make a daily plan. There are six things in my life that I think are really important. So at 6 o'clock every single morning, they pop up in my phone. So I can just make a quick plan for these things. And one of those is family time. And there are days I have to tell Roxanne, look, babe, I won't be home till 10. There are days I leave the house before they wake up, and I get home when they've gone to sleep, and I don't see them all day long. But you can't have a whole lot of days like that. And sometimes just in the morning, you know, making a yearly plan, here's how we're going to spend, you know, time with our kids, 365 days a year. That's not practical. But sometimes in this morning saying, you know what, I bet I could leave and pick them up from school. Okay, you know, I can be home. We can have a, let's all gather for a family dinner tonight. Or let's all go to McDonald's for a family dinner tonight. You know, whatever you got to do. Or, you know, I'll tell Roxanne I'll be home a little late, but keep them up. I'll tuck them into bed. Just taking that 2 minutes to make a quick plan. You know, today, Here's how I'm going to capture the moment. Because I love that series that Pastor Dina just taught us about, the series of now. All we have is today. We can't change yesterday. We can't do a whole lot to affect tomorrow. But we can do the best we can with the moments that we have today. So just making, you know, a daily plan. You know, the other thing is this. I think it's important to plan for family traditions. And that sounds so pilgrims, Puritan, Plymouth Rock, black hats, you know, big guns on the end, like a trumpet or whatever that is. It just sounds weird. What is a family tradition? We can all sing before dinner or, you know, what is that about? But you know what traditions are? Traditions are ways to carry values to the next generation. And so when a tradition ceases to do that, get rid of the tradition, but make a new one. Yeah, that's what Jesus did. Jesus came in and did away with all these old traditions. But then right before he died, he gathered his disciples together and he started a new one. He said, do this in remembrance of me. And he talked about communion. And 2,000 years later, we still gather and have that tradition and do that because that was the way he passed on the value of the cross to the next generation. And so you may have family traditions in your family that already exist. You may want to start some new. It can be as simple, my kids, they're once a week. I take them to breakfast on the way to school. We leave a little early. We get some breakfast. It's usually unhealthy. And for about 20 minutes, it's just us and them. And we just hang out. Maybe it's family dinners. Maybe it's something you do at Christmas. But just something small that's a little small family tradition that helps put it in the schedule. And it helps pass on those values to the next generation. I believe it makes a huge difference later. So that's one. I think we have to plan for it. You know, the second thing is this. We have to spend time doing things that they love. That can be the hardest. I'm not into Star Wars. My kids love Star Wars. And you ask me anything about Star Wars, I can tell you. I can tell you anything about that because that is the culture of my house. But you know, I think about that. I think about my dad. My dad used to bring me to baseball games. When I was a little kid, we lived in Cleveland, Ohio. And so the Cleveland Indians were there, and that's all we had to cheer for. And they did their best. And so he would take me to ball games, and, you know, he would take me. And I remember one night especially, he brought me, and I would always bring my glove because we sat in the bleachers, and I was going to catch a home run. I never caught a home run. They didn't hit home runs, and I couldn't catch. So I don't know why I thought that any of that was going to work out. So so I got my glove. I'm going to the game. And I remember I was so excited. July 25th, 1980. Cleveland Indians, California Angels. And it was a twilight doubleheader, which means they don't do these anymore. They started one game at 5. They played. When it was over, they took about a 30-minute break, and they played again. I'm 10 years old. It's a school night. I am so excited. So we go to the game. I've got my glove. We get there, and it was helmet night. This is the helmet I got when I was 10 years old, right here, Cleveland Indians. Man, I've got my helmet on. I got my glove on. We go sit in the bleachers, doubleheader. I'm so excited. First game, bottom of the ninth, the Indians are down by 3 runs. They cut the lead to 2. One guy hits a double. Rick Manning is a pinch runner. Rick Manning's on second base. Toby Hara comes up to the plate. None of you have ever heard of Toby Hara because the Indians weren't that great, but I will never forget Toby Hara. At 10 years old, he changed my life. And so he's up to the plate. He hits a double, knocks Rick Manning in, tie score. Wild pitch. Toby Hara steals third base. He's on third. The next guy hits a single in the gap. Toby Hara runs home. There's a play at the plate. He's safe. Indians win 9-8. Crowd goes crazy. I'm jumping up and down. And the best thing is 30 minutes later, there's another one. And so we start that one. I think they beat the Angels bad in that one. So we go home. It's like midnight. I'm 10 years old. It's a school night. I can't imagine anything better than this. I am so excited. I'll never forget that night. Now, take that and then fast forward, I don't know, about 10, 12 years. I was in college. Now, I was at my parents' house. I don't know what my hair looks like right now. So I'm at my parents' house and I'm watching a baseball game. And my dad's in another room. And so I'm watching it. And then at some point I think, Dad's not watching the baseball game. And then a couple things click, and I was like, Dad never watches baseball games. And you know what hit me at about 23 years old? Dad doesn't like baseball. That had never crossed my mind before. But I thought, well, if Dad doesn't like baseball, why did he take me to all those baseball games? Because Dad doesn't like baseball, but Dad loved me. And his love was easy to read. I asked him this week, knowing I was going to talk about that. I said, Dad, do you remember that night? He said, do I remember it? Longest night of my life. I mean, I like baseball, but when you don't like baseball and you got to sit through a baseball game, much less two, he said, I had to go to work the next morning. He said, I'll never forget that night for a totally different reason than me. But you know, I think about that when my kids want to do something that I have absolutely no interest in. It's not about what we're doing. It's about the fact that we're together. And I'll never forget that night. And for the longest time, you know, I remember that night because of baseball. Now I could care less about the baseball. I remember that night because it lets me know, thank you, Jesus, for giving me a mom and a dad that cared about me and valued me. And so they valued the things that I was interested in. So, you know, we got to make a plan. We got to do things that they're interested in. But you know, the last thing is this. Sometimes we just have to create spontaneous memories, just spontaneous events, just spur of the moment, stop the world, focus on the family, create a memory. And you know, this became kind of easy last Friday night. If you remember last Friday night, it snowed in Baton Rouge, which my kids are getting spoiled. They think it snows every year in Baton Rouge now. They don't know, you know. So now I can start. Well, my day, let me tell you what. And so for last Friday night, I'm home. And actually, I had two or three things I had to do. I told Roxanne, hey, I'll be home, but about 6:37, I got to roll, and I'll be back, you know, whenever. And so I got the TV on. I think the news was on. And they show snow on Segan Lane, 6:30. My kids are bouncing off the walls. I don't know if you've ever had to answer the question, when is it going to snow? That's a hard, I really believe God should make snow always happen in the middle of the night so they just wake up to it. Because waiting on it with four boys under seven is brutal. And so we're waiting on snow. And I finally told Roxanne, I was like, let's just all stay home. Let's go buy some pizzas. Got some Christmas cookies. Made cookies. Ate pizza. Watched Christmas movies. And every 5 minutes they asked me, Dad, when's it going to snow? We turn to the weather channel. I don't know, son. Turn back. When's it going to snow? When's it going to snow? And honestly, at some point, I looked at Roxanne and said, I don't think it's going to snow in Prairieville. And so we got the mattresses out, and we laid them in the living room. And they slept on the mattresses, and I slept on the couch. And Roxanne said, I'm sleeping in my own bed. Y'all can have this. And we put the babies to bed, the young ones. I have a 2-year-old and about a 6-month-old. So we put them to bed. And, man, 9 o'clock, 9:30, and I'm kind of preparing the boy. I said, look, we'll keep the windows open, so if it snows, we'll go outside. Sure enough, 10 o'clock, here it comes. I was actually in the other room. They come running in the back. Dad, it's snowing, it's snowing, it's snowing. I was like, baby, no, it's not. And I walk out, and there it is. And so what do? Man, we grab the boots, long pants, jackets, gloves, wake the babies up, get them out of bed, 10 o'clock at night. We're out, all of us, out in the front yard. Nobody else is out there. Throwing the football. They're standing here like this, hoping to catch enough to get a snowball because it wasn't sticking. And I was like, man, just give up on that. We stayed out there for like an hour. All my kids are sick right now, just honestly. She took them all to the doctor the week after, the Friday after that. Had to take all of them to the doctor. All of them are sick. Then we came in, drank some hot cocoa, watched some more Christmas movies, fell asleep by the Christmas tree, made a fire. I got no sleep, exhausted the next day. But it was so worth it. And I thought about that. I thought, why was it so easy at that moment just to stop everything? And you know why? Because it was going to snow. And I knew that could be a once-in-a-lifetime chance in Baton Rouge. I didn't want to miss a once-in-a-lifetime moment. You know what the truth is with kids? Every day is a once-in-a-lifetime moment. They may never ask that question again. They may never be going through that issue again. You know, they may not want to spend time with me again. And so really, every day, it is so important that we capture those moments with our kids. Because kids spell love T-I-M-E. And I want my love to be so easy to read. I don't want them ever to have to guess.